Welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations, and if we got one for you today, it's the man, Becky Lynch, the first woman ever to win the main event of WrestleMania with us today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. Probably don't need to tell you much about her. She has a new book coming out March 26th, The Man, Not Your Average Girl, through Simon & Schuster. She's also in a Women's World Championship match at WrestleMania against the champion Rhea Ripley. That should be great too. Talked about everything. She's been to the White House. She's been on Jeopardy. She's pretty much everywhere you're going to want to find her these days. And she's a mom. So we've got to talk about some of that too. So here we go with my interview with the man, Becky Lynch. Honored to be joined today by one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling, the first woman to ever win the main event of WrestleMania, and the author of The Man, Not Your Average Girl, available March 26th everywhere. It's The Man, Becky Lynch. Becky, welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. How are you doing today?
How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
So you've written a book. What was that experience like? Why this point in your life and career? And what do you think people will enjoy about it?
So I'll have to correct you. It's actually Not Your Average Girl. And so, look, I grew up perfectly average, wanting some most unaverage things. I wanted to wrestle. I wanted to change the perception of women in wrestling. I wanted to be the main event of WrestleMania. I wanted to do all of these things that I've been lucky enough to accomplish. And But I didn't have any natural talents. Like, I came to wrestling by accident. I loved it, but I never thought that it was something that I could achieve. But at a very young age, my dad always told me to write everything down, to journal everything. And so I think for a long time, I had the idea that one day I would write a book. And then when I got into wrestling, Mick Foley, he was my favorite. He had written a book. He had written a book himself. And so it was always my goal as I went through my life, through this wrestling journey and other journeys that I went through, that one day it would be a biography. And whenever things were hard, I would say, well, this will all sound good in the biography one day. And so that's really it. So I knew that it was something that was going to come into existence. And then I was offered a book deal and I said, hell yeah, let's go. And, you know, it took a while to learn how to write a book. I did a year-long writing course with Neil Strauss and learned a lot from him. And then I handed off my first draft, and my editor came back with a bunch of questions. And then when I read it, I was like, oh, no, this isn't the book that I want to release. And so within like 5 weeks, I completely redid it and got to a point where I was very proud of it. And my biggest hurdle was showing it to my husband, Seth Rollins. Mm. And he read it and he loved it. And so I was like, OK, well, now the public gets to read it if it gets his vote of approval.
That's got to be quite a process just emotionally going through all of that stuff, especially with the biography. You're just reliving every up, every down as you go. What was that like for you? And it's not like you got all this free time on your hands. Your main event, you're in a headline match of WrestleMania. You're on, you know, worldwide television every week. You know, you're out there and you're a mom. So, you know, what was the emotional process of kind of editing and rewriting and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, so it really came down to just like the crafting of the story. So I'd gotten like a lot of it on paper, and then it was what's necessary, what's not necessary, what fits the story. Like, what is the story that I'm trying to tell? And so it was going through that, the emotional process. I just tried to, as much as possible, remember my headspace in each moment and be honest about that, like what I was genuinely feeling. And then there's like specific parts of it, like, for example, dealing with my father's death, that even when I would read it back to edit, like I would just be a mess. You know, it was very hard for me to talk about without tearing up. So or bawling my eyes out, even in the audio recording. Like it was hard for me to get through. So yeah, so stuff like that was it was difficult. Yeah, it was difficult.
So the list of people who were the top star in the entire wrestling industry at any given point is stacked with some pretty unbelievable historical people and one woman or one man in this case, and that was you. Arguably, you're still in the competition for that. How incredible was your rise in 2018 and 2019 for you personally that led to the main event of WrestleMania?
Yeah, well, so it was what was the most important part to me was that it didn't feel like a gesture of we're making history. Look at this women's evolution, revolution, whatever way we want to market it. It felt more like, of course, that's the main event because that's the best story. That's the person that we're the most interested in. And that's what I wanted. I wanted it to be real and merit driven because there was nobody as big or as hot or as interesting at that time than me and that story. And defeating Ronda and defeating Charlotte and overcoming them. And we did that. We did that. And it wasn't based on like a, I think that's kind of sometimes the thing that, not that I can have issue with, I suppose I can kind of sometimes have issue with where when it, and I talk about this in the book, where when it becomes too much like, look at this historical women's whatever, insert X, kind of becomes, starts to feel a little condescending. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that in that moment. I don't want that in general. I just want to get opportunity based on the good work that I've done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not like you don't need to repackage it and, you know, historically kind of go back and do revisionist history. Like I was in the building that night, so I, you know, it was an earned moment and it was on that card what was the most relevant thing to put in the main event of the show. So, you know, it was pretty clear to me. So I love that line of thinking. And I think it's exactly, you know, the way that era needs to be viewed. And even as we're moving forward too, well, to be honest about it.
You know, like we always talk about it's wrestling.
Yeah.
It is wrestling. It's just wrestling. You know what I mean? And like, it's women in wrestling, but it's wrestling. It's not something different than, and we need to view it more as just wrestling, you know, it's just wrestling. And these are female stars and they're male stars, but they're all just wrestlers and they're all just stars, you know?
Yeah. And they're all gonna, you know, eventually it's like you're all trying to make the same money. You're all trying to be in the same spots. You know, when you were coming up, the main event of WrestleMania as an idea might have seemed unlikely. How much has women's wrestling in particular, I asked the same question, similar one to Bayley when we had her on, but just how much has it changed since you were breaking in?
Well, like, look, it was never an option. It was never a possibility. Like, it was relegated to the short time slots, to the token gesture. Here is the side attraction of the women's match. It was an attraction, and I hated that. And there was limitations on what women could do. Like, you couldn't punch or you couldn't throw somebody into the stairs because that was seen as too violent. And nobody wants to see women being violent. They do because this is wrestling and they want to see them wrestle and they want to see stories and they want to see ideas and characters and formations. And I don't think anybody cares what the gender is. And so we needed to get rid of that thinking.
Yeah.
And I think there tends to still be some of that bias there because it's ingrained. It's kind of almost like a historically ingrained thing that we just need to scrape away the layers of. And we're getting there and we're getting there and we have gotten there to where, you know, if I main event a Raw, it's not a big deal. Of course I main event a Raw. I'm awesome, you know, or like I main event a pay-per-view. Of course, it may invent a pay-per-view. It's not a big deal because I'm the man, you know. But also, you know, like Rhea Ripley just main evented in Australia. Of course, she should have main evented in Australia. She's the, their biggest star, you know. So it's all of these things where it's like, of course, why not? Whereas before it was like, oh, it's a big deal.
I like
that it's not a big deal, and I want it to continue to not be a big deal, because it shouldn't be a big deal. It should be a meritocracy where your position is based on the merit, not on your gender.
Yeah, I always like to tell people in wrestling that the only limits you have, whether it's gender or whether it's promotional stuff, it's just the only limit you have is your imagination, and that's the only boundary that anybody sets. So, and you've shattered all of those things at this point. Knowing that you stepped away from the ring for a while, did your success mean more to you when you returned after 6 years out, coming into the NXT and coming into the Performance Center?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it really did. It almost to a detriment, because it was like, you know, like you holding a flower too tight, you know, you squeeze it and you crush it. And so it was like that, because I knew what it was like to be without it. And I knew what it was like to have this dream and these goals and this passion and then to be searching for it. And then to have arrived in the place where those dreams could now become possible. And then the fear of losing it. Like, I got in my own way a lot in the beginning. But like, I remember having debuted on NXT, and we don't need to talk about that debut. We don't need to talk about it. But like, I remember driving around afterwards and just crying that like the petrol in my car, the car that I was driving, like all of it was paid for by wrestling. Like it was mind-boggling. It was, I can't believe I've done it. I cannot believe that I've done it. And so, it really meant a lot to me. I think it still continues to mean a lot to me because of that.
Yeah.
And not because of that. I mean, it's also just because I love wrestling. But I think knowing what it was like without it gives me great perspective always. Yeah.
Definitely. What is it like to have a family with two pro wrestlers as parents? Is your daughter interested at all in what you guys are doing? And does she understand that she has two parents in marquee matches at this year's WrestleMania?
So I always think it's real funny, you know, like there's probably like a stereotypical vision of it. Like we're big, tough parents, you know, that, and like, we're under her thumb, you know, like she's the dictator. She rules the roost. And that's probably like terrible parenting, but she's just adorable, and she's like got her like things that she wants to do, and we're like, oh yes ma'am, sorry ma'am. We call her Mob Boss Rue because she's like such a little mob boss, you know. And but she doesn't like watching wrestling, but she's now taking an interest to doing wrestling. So she'll have, I was trying to teach her a lockup, but that was too basic for her. Like, she's on to DDTs with Dada, you know? So, and she gives great DDT. And so she loves doing that on our bed. Let's play wrestling, she says.
Oh, my goodness. So we probably should also talk about your match with Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. What makes that such a good matchup for you and for the fans?
Well, for me, it makes it so great because so many people are doubting me, and it's like they've forgotten who the hell I am. Thankfully, I have not forgotten. But she's been front and center for the last year plus, and really just rising. But while she's been doing that, I've been doing all the hard work, the grunt work, the elevating everybody around me without a title in sight, but not losing a fraction of who I am and what I do. And to quote my fellow Irishman, Seamus, putting on banger after banger after banger after banger, making all the towns, doing all of the media while being a best-selling author and while raising a three-year-old on the road. And so the thing is that when people believe in me, I'm good. But when people doubt me, I am great. And so come WrestleMania, she's going to have the fight of her life. But here we are, like, two of wrestling's top stars. And that's the great thing. It's not about gender now. It's just we're two of wrestling's top stars. And she thinks she's infallible. And that's a problem. Because to quote the great Pearl Jam, in one of my favorite songs, they have a song called Infallible. And when they say, by thinking we're infallible, we're tempting fate instead. And I think that's where she's at. And I am fate. Fate dressed as a redheaded devil. So, yeah, she's screwed. She's done.
Very good. And then what I like about the run that you had leading to this, too, is that you had the stop at NXT with Tiffany Stratton and with Lyra Valkyria, which was very good and very entertaining and cool to see those performers, you know, mixing it up with you. It's kind of, again, just let's not limit the imagination. Let's do what we want to do. What did you think of that time?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. It wasn't like a thing where I was like, I need to win the NXT Women's Championship to feel like my career is complete. But when the offer was suggested to me, like, would I go down to NXT and work with these girls? I was like, hell yes. Because when I was in NXT, several things. When I was in NXT, it always felt like anxiety because I was always worried about getting fired. And going back to NXT, I got to relive it without that fear behind me. But also, when I was in NXT, we had no girls who had main evented WrestleMania. We had no girls who had main evented any shows.
Right.
As far as I'm aware. And now I was able to go down and help these young stars and show them, you know, how I work and what that's like and hopefully impart a little bit of wisdom. But I think that's important that we do that because that's how it continues to grow. You know, that's what every other generation has had, like of men has always had, you know. Like Seth Rollins has gotten to work with John Cena and Triple H, and before that, you know, like it's cyclical. We work by, we learn by working with the people who have been where we want to go.
Yep.
And so I think that's important that we get in there and we get our hands dirty and we show them the ropes, beat them up a little bit.
Very nice. We're going to move on to something we call the three count now. It's going to be three quick questions and your answers. So the first one, you've been in high demand recently. What was it like visiting the White House and meeting President Biden? And how on earth did that come together?
I'm national treasure, you know? It was
which country, though?
I mean, it was St. Patrick's Day. And it was a big Irish celebration. And, you know, Ireland and America have always had that connection. You know, and that brotherhood and that treaty, I think, going back 100 years. And so it was a big celebration of Irish-American history. And so as part of that, I got invited. And it was just a great positive atmosphere in there. And then also to be in a place where the most important decisions in the world have happened. And so many important decisions have been made throughout history. It was really, really fascinating. And then getting to go in there and slide my book into the library was not something I had put on my bucket list, but there we are. Life now, keeps surprising me. It's great.
Now that it's there, yeah. And I would be remiss if I didn't congratulate you on the citizenship as well, hearing that on Monday.
Thank you very much.
And then second question, as a pun guy myself, I was always a big fan of yours. Of your puns on social media. Other than Becky Lynch, who is the best punster in WWE?
Gosh.
Is there a number two?
yeah, no. Like, I mean, Trish Stratus is pretty great, actually. Yeah. Trish Stratus is yeah, she's up there.
That's great. At my own job, we recently just hired an editor, and the two of us are currently driving our entire like group chat at work completely insane because she's worse than I am. And so full grown, you know, the puns are full grown, as they say.
Oh,
but, I love it. And then the last question, what three contestants would you select for WWE for the most entertaining edition of Jeopardy?
Most entertaining. So, I need to go back there. I need to, you know, I need to get the hang of that damn buzzer. I need to go back and I need to revise some history. So can I put myself in there or no?
Oh, there's no rules here. So absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'm going back. Can you imagine if I went back and just won like regular Jeopardy, like all of it?
Why not? Yeah, I mean, you had a number of answers that were close to what was actually the answer,
but
anyway.
It was also the buzzer, and I'd never watched Jeopardy before. I never watched a single episode. That was on me. That was on me. My bad. Anyway, we make history without even trying sometimes. Literally. Seth Rollins would be fabulous on it. Just because he's so smart. I don't know that that would be entertaining. It would just be good because he's just very incredibly smart. And then I want to put Big E on there. Yeah, I want to put Big E on there.
Any reason for that?
Well, did you happen to watch our episode of The Weakest Link?
I think I missed that, actually. Amazingly enough.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was the strongest link every single round. And then it came to the end, and the New Day voted me off, even though I was the strongest link. And this was for charity. And those lads, they're smart in many ways, but they were dummies on that show. So I want to see Big E on that show. See what he does. See what he can do there. Yeah. Yeah, Big E, I'm going to get you again.
But on Jeopardy.
So it would be me, Seth Rollins, and Big E.
That would be entertaining. I thought you know, whatever, you know, it was Celebrity Jeopardy, so it's fun whichever way you look at it. But yeah, that was a pretty fun experience. And so anyway, Becky Lynch, thank you so much for joining me today. Once again, The Man Not Your Average Girl, available March 26th everywhere, and of course April 6th and April 7th at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. It's WrestleMania on Peacock, Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been an absolute honor.
Thanks a million.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining me today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. I'd like to thank The Man, Becky Lynch, for joining me today. I'd also like to thank Greg Domino from WWE and Lucy Nalen from Simon & Schuster for helping set this up. Follow me on Twitter @UnderTheRing for all the latest guest announcements, and have a great week, everyone.